Sunday Meditation, December 22nd, 1996. This week has to do with discernment. We are aware that we know whatever we know through intellect, through the experiences that teach us, responses, actions, thoughts. We know through our intuition, through the subconscious mind, through any entity that might communicate through the subconscious to give us an indication of the rightness of a thought or a direction or an action. We're wondering how to find or discriminate the highest knowing, the best knowing, the way that we can act according to what we know with some confidence that we're doing the best we can both to know and to act. And we would also like to know how much of this really is, as Romy says, hanging our butt over the edge and having to go on faith or hope or by golly. All of the stuff that comes to you and get to the heart of it.
We are those of the principle known to you as Akul. And we greet each of you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. What a blessing and privilege it is to be called to your circle of seeking on this day of chill and grayness, when the days are so short, and the longing for the light is at its greatest. We greatly appreciate this opportunity to share our thoughts, to share with you those things that we feel we have learned. We ask, as always, one thing of you, and that, if we may use the word, is discernment. We do ask that each of you trust her powers of discrimination. For there is within you a very powerful knower. And that keeper of your own personal truth awakens when you hear that which is true for you, that which is of use to you. It is a feeling of remembering or recognition of that which was already dimly known. Then that is yours. If you have no such recognition of those things which we say, then leave them behind and move on. For we are not speaking as authorities, but as those who walk the same path as you, and who have perhaps, in the illusions of time and space, walked a few more paces than you have. The wish to obtain and purify the faculty of spiritual discernment is surely a common one because of the nature of the spiritual journey. It is not given to any. To have proof of rightness in other avenues of your daily existence, where the world of the physical holds sway, there are ways that seem to approach exactitude of knowing and measuring quantities and qualities of those things which are manifest within your illusion. One of those things that is manifest within your illusion is the physical, mental, and emotional body or bodies that you have taken upon yourselves as one would don a suit of clothing in order that you might have a beingness within your world of illusion during your incarnation here. That body is at once a wonderful gift and a gift to be grasped and understood as a part of, but not all of, that which is yourself. In particular, that mental and emotional mindset that comes with the body that you have, that follows the instincts of the body that you have, is also that which makes it very difficult to see into that darkness in which spiritual things are always hidden. The hallmark of the spiritual inquiry, of the seeking and searching after truth, of the thirsting for righteousness, is the darkness, the perversity, the inability to see clearly that is typical of a world that is in darkness, in which the only light is the light of stars and of the moon. The one this instrument knew as Don used to say that the moon was more important than the sun because it gave light in the night when you need it. This is very true. It is into the spiritual night that the light, so dim yet so precious, of discernment must come. It is not in the noonday of consensus reality, when the choices seem clear, but rather at the midnight, the dark night of the soul, which in some levels goes on all the time beneath the tempo of your everyday life. It is as though the greatest of treasures was hidden in a darkened theater or a darkened field. If within a theater, then it is not simply the audience, but those upon the stage that gaze about and look for that hidden gem that is truth. If within the field of night, then we might bring that parable that this instrument has from its Christian education, of the merchant that sold all that he had to buy the pearl of great price. That pearl lies buried within the field. And it is the decidedly unglamorous job of the seeker of truth to dig in the dirt. Now, each of you has a different way of approaching the dichotomy, which is sometimes not clear and is sometimes excruciatingly obvious, betwixt the second density great ape physical vehicle with its attendant mind and emotions, and that consciousness which was before all began and which shall continue after all has ended in the stream of time and space. To most entities, it is very difficult to move from the choice-making, comfort-seeking, physical mindset into that consciousness which has no characteristic of time or space or momentum, but rather which exists in the eternal, in the infinite, in the unknowable. All that is unknown in spiritual discernment does indeed lie safely, most deeply within the heart, within that great center within, which you may visualize as a tent of meeting, the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, in which resides the Creator, that great original thought, unconditional love. That power that is the Logos is absolute. When there is that golden moment and the self somehow moves into that space where one is tabernacling with the Infinite One, one is in the light and one becomes the love. When those moments occur, we suggest that you write them down in your memory and know that you have gleaned a precious gem from that field which you are digging in. Or know that one of the characters upon that stage has come to life, because somewhere in that theater that little bit of truth was found. Those moments are absolute. They cannot be transferred to another. But for the self, they are tremendously important. For very, very often, while in the physical illusion, the seeker must run on faith and hope alone. And when this is the case, it is memory that feeds faith and sparks hope. Memory of the self in a blessed gift of a moment, and another, and another. And as the years of your incarnation roll by, there is a growing collection of precious, precious gems, of moments in the light, of moments when love and the self were not bounded or separate or in any way describable. This instrument has often attempted to write of these times of ecstasy in a way that would spark others to find the fullness of joy in the Creator. And yet there is no communication that can transfer this kind of moment of pure awareness. So the seeker, as always, is upon an unique path. There are no two sparks of love, no two souls, shall we say, that have the same path. Although many may say, oh, I have a Christian path, or I have a Buddhist path, or whatever path is named. Yet, one path is not equal to another. Each is unique. The difficulties of sharing and helping each other when discernment is being searched are monumental, because one path is not just like another, regardless of how two people use words to describe that path. Your nature as an entity is at the same time unified and extraordinarily complex. If the soul that you are works better moving from feelings, it is perhaps desirable to hew to the unitary nature of experience, that all is one, and that in experiencing any, one experiences in the end the all. For the one who is more aware of the internal workings of the mind, that one who is aware of the layers of meaning and of consciousness, the image of a subtle and complex network of mind works better. The mind has great depth, moving ultimately into that self which is all. There is a kind of geometry to the mind. There are pathways within it. And there are entities within your culture, within each culture upon your planet, who have moved deeply into subtleties in discriminating betwixt one level and another, betwixt one tone poem of a mood and another, between one awareness and another. Either of these kinds of path will work. It is simply that one must find the path or the combination of thoughts that will yield to the self that which is sought, which is an increased trust that all shall be made clear in good time. The simple use of time is recommended to those who wish to work with the processes of perception. When an entity takes time, with the self, it is a great help to the inner workings of that self. Some find that the greatest gift they can give to themselves is silence. And we do recommend always the daily silence, the listening within to that still small voice that speaks in that silence with thoughts beyond words, with food that feeds the deeper person. Some find conversations with the Creator very helpful. These are often cast as prayers. But any conversation with that mysterious higher power qualifies as prayer, including, as this instrument has often done, getting very angry with the Creator, complaining, and otherwise getting negative emotions expressed. Sometimes yelling at God is suitable and appropriate for what someone has been through and what someone is attempting to integrate into that combination self of awareness and mortality that each is within your illusion. Certainly allowing time to pass, allowing sequences to build up, is extremely helpful when one is attempting to discern, and there are subtleties that cannot be voiced. The simple allowing of time to pass can bring into your awareness those subjective signals that work only for you. Those little nudges that you begin to get when you turn your life over in complete surrender to that truth that you seek and that you wish to be. There is a freedom that comes with the surrender to that higher power, to that attitude that says, "Not my will, but thine. Teach me thy ways. I want to know how to fulfill my service to you. Give me a hint. Give me a sign." Then allowing the time to pass, asking the question, and waiting. There are times when the waiting period is very, very short. There are times when one waits for years. However, always, these questions continue to work within you until you have found your way. Fortunately, it is in how you meet the conditions of life that the quality of life adheres. We correct this instrument in here. Not in the events or circumstances themselves. It is easy to forget that consensus reality is illusory because everything looks very real and seems very solid. Scientifically speaking, you are aware that within each piece of furniture and within your own body, there is far more space than anything else, with electrons dashing about as tiny little galaxies. Almost all space, no real matter, all an illusion. how hard it is to wake up sometimes. And to find that patience that seeks more deeply, that is not impressed with seeming success or put off by seeming lack, that sees beyond the appearances and the chances of a mortal existence. But discernment is all about moving into that uncomfortable darkness where things are almost impossible to see aright. The colors are hidden, even the shapes. Oh, the light could not be dimmer without going out entirely. This is your spiritual situation. And that is why the faith with which you meet the good and bad fortunes of your existence is such a signal and powerful portion of a walk that can be termed spiritual or devotional in nature. Since nothing can be known, one must choose either to stop trying to understand or to invest in faith. If the seeker is able, it is very helpful in pursuing truth to work with those entities with which you come in contact. For as long as you are thinking internally and turning the gaze inward, the mirrors which others offer to you are not used. It is very difficult for one within the tangle of life that each entity creates in his incarnation to see that tangle in a balanced and helpful way. However, those others with whom you share your environments have the happy faculty of being mirrors without effort. For you shall catch off of their mirroring only those images that provoke reaction within you. And as you react to those entities seemingly outside of yourself, you may know that you are now working in an area where there is something to work on. Your interest has been awakened, perhaps rudely. Perhaps you do not like what you see. Perhaps you love what you see. Either way, you as a seeker have been served by the mere being of the other, who without any effort whatsoever is able to show you the truth that is hidden within you. When you have the untoward or the negative reaction, take that gift and look it over, for it has much to tell you. Perhaps in the end, when speaking of spiritual awareness, we must admit that in terms of final things, we as yet do not know any. The mystery continues to recede before our eyes. In an infinite and spacious way, And this seems to us to be satisfactory. We are content at this point in our own evolution to serve according to that which we value. And that is why we thank you for allowing us to speak with you. For to us, the cries of those upon your earth for understanding, illumination, and peace are gripping and make us feel much sympathy. We feel the sorrow and the desire for the higher way, for the loving way, for the truthful way, for that quality of life which turns the everyday into an object of beauty and truth. We feel these desires within you and praise them. As you move in response to them, you are accelerating the rate of your spiritual evolution and beginning to live a life larger than yourself, in that as you attempt to live from moment to moment, fastened on those things of greater importance, the vibration of your being lightens, and as it lightens, the planetary consciousness lightens also. It is as though with your being, with that essential you that breathes in and that breathes out, and yet remains beyond all breathing, you have the power to change the world. And indeed, quite literally, each of you is changing the world to the full extent of your choices in respect to how to serve. The great choice, as you know, is between the radiant and the giving, and the attractive and holding and controlling of service to self. Each of you has chosen the path of radiance, and each of you is making a difference. There is perhaps nothing greater that we could say than to love one another as you have come to love yourself. And if you have not learned to love yourself, that task is your first one. For it is difficult to do work in consciousness until one has become at peace with one's being in its full nature, with all the shadows and the dark side. So we ask you to love, to find ways to love the self and to nurture that self and appreciate and respect the sacrifice of that second density great eight being, which has given you the opportunity to walk upon the earth and make a dent in it, and to live and to choose. This is a very precious thing, this incarnation. Each is aware of how quickly it is going. We wish you every blessing and shall be with you at any time that you request our presence, not to speak, but simply to sit in meditation with you. We are aware that there are questions that remain, and we would at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Jim, that you may probe further in this interesting area. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are those of Akul.
I am Kuo, and greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. At this time, we would ask if we may speak any further queries which may yet remain upon the minds of those present. I'm Kuo. We would be honored to speak to your query, my brother.
As a seeker seeks the path of most efficient polarization, the seeker encounters obstacles, catalysts. It seems that the message of the obstacle may be to persevere, to demonstrate yourself worthy of the path you seek to walk by walking through the obstacle and encountering it. On the other hand, the meaning of the obstacle may be to inform the seeker this is not the path of most efficient polarization. Seek another path. My question is, how may the seeker know which is the intended meaning of the obstacle or catalyst?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my brother. The seeker begins in the conscious journey to know the desires of the self, to serve others, to learn of the one creator, to find a union with all, are those general areas in which the seeker will find itself moving within the incarnation. When the seeker encounters the obstacles, the difficulties that halt or slow progress, it is well to retire within to the inner chamber of meditation, to look there for the response that is appropriate. Many times the seeker will find that there is the renewed desire to seek in such and such a fashion, in spite of the obstacle. It often will be shown to the seeker that in some way the application of love, acceptance, a tolerance, the light touch, perhaps, is recommended. That each obstacle presents the opportunity to love in a deeper fashion, a different fashion, for a greater period of time, and so forth. Most obstacles that a seeker encounters may be dissolved by the application of love in some form, in some complex of activities, thoughts, and so forth, in the relationships in which one moves in the daily round of activities. Thus, in meditation, the seeker again finds the renewed desire to know and to love. And this rediscovery of the desire to know and the reapplication of love will dissolve most obstacles. However, when the seeker finds that a certain obstacle remains beyond a number of periods of meditation, beyond a number of opportunities to love, then again the seeker must seek within the meditative state. The answer, shall we say, the response to the obstacle which remains. In some cases, it may be that this is indeed a direction, or shall we say a redirection, of the energies of the entity so seeking. Whatever the case may be, it is our recommendation that one always utilize meditation. For within this state of seeking, an entity is far more likely to move beneath the layers of confusion, of misdirection, of misperception, of miscommunication, and find a clarity that wells up from within as a gift of grace from the One Creator. May we speak in any other fashion, my brother.
Thank you.
I am Kaw, and we thank you, my brother. Is there another question at this time?
I don't know if I can frame this, but it just seems to me so often that what we visualize and what we expect has a real input into the way things turn out. And like if one person looks at the situation and says, oh well, I'm just going to overcome that and go right through it, and that works out great, but another person says, no, I think I'm going to go around this and choose another way. It's like, is one really more right than the other? In terms of spiritual learning, do you get off your path? Is there a right choice and a wrong choice? Or is there just a more skillful choice, which like taking a shorter road?
I'm Kaw, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. We would suggest that there is not one right choice to any particular dilemma or situation. If right choices were discernible, then there would simply be a handbook for the incarnation. We always recommend the meditative state for the purpose of the entity finding the solution that is appropriate for the self. One's own handbook, shall we say. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thanks.
I quote, and again we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
Mm-hmm. Another question about thanks for the time. I have a handbook for him.
I am quote, and we are glad that we have spoken to you, my brother, for it is an honor to do so. Mm-hmm. Is there another query at this time?
I have another query.
I'm cool. We would be honored, my brother.
There are various physical objects that seem useful as tools to the seeker in the meditative state. Crystals, for example, particular shapes and symbols. Does the seeker, in refraining from using these tools, improve his or her own ability to function by forcing himself or herself to walk without crutches, as it were? Does his other life be-
I am Kaw, and I'm again with this instrument. The gadgets, shall we say, that one may utilize in the seeking process, most particularly in the meditative state, to enhance this state, do indeed offer an assistance, as you have mentioned, much like unto the crutch. that aids one to walk when one is unable to do so without the assistance. And in many cases, this is well. However, as you also have surmised, the walking without the crutch is the activity which gives additional strength, shall we say, to one's own spiritual muscles. There is also the added responsibility that one who uses the gadgets to enhance the seeking must assume. For as one is aided by such utilization of implements and so forth, there is the additional responsibility to use the fruits of such realization in the service of others. Thus, when one moves without such gadgets and uses one's own spiritual juices, shall we say, one is functioning within a certain environment or range of possibility which is more natural, we shall choose this word, for the entity, and allows the entity to move along its path in a more balanced fashion. Thus, we find that the entity who moves without the gadgets is one which moves in a more sustainable manner. Thus, we recommend that the enhanced gadgets be used only when there is the necessity for their use, and use of them only as long as the need remains. Is there a further query, my brother?
Thank you for that answer. I would like to ask a separate query. Does the love of one entity detract from or add to one's ability to love all other entities?
I am Kuo, and we believe that we grasp your query, my brother, and would respond by suggesting that love for or from any one entity only enhances the ability to love all, for indeed all are one, and the one may be seen in each entity. Is there a further query, my brother?
No, thank you.
I am Kuo, and again we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
Does this time of the year seem to lighten the planetary consciousness? With everybody thinking about the Christmas spirit?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my sister. Indeed, from our perspective, even those thoughts of this Christmas season, which are tainted with the feelings of frustration at its commercialization, are adding to a luminosity that we find is quite brilliant. For the guiding light of this season is that which shines within each seeker's heart, and is made more apparent by the increased desire to give, to serve, and to love that are a portion of this season's rituals and activities. Is there a final query at this time?
It seems that we who are here at this time and at this place are fortunate to be here and now in a very special time and place. I also get the impression that there are many more who would like to be incarnated here and now than are. Why, by what mechanism are we chosen? Is it a kind of spiritual triage? We haven't made it yet, but we still have a chance to make it. Are there other factors involved? Why are we the lucky ones?
I am equal, and am aware of your query, my brother. Indeed, we would agree that all of those who are here gathered around this planetary sphere and upon it are most fortunate. For there is at this time the opportunity to birth that which is love within each heart and within the heart of the planet as well. You are quite correct, my brother, when you assume that there are many who would wish incarnation at this time who are not presently incarnate. The choosing of those who shall be incarnate is likened unto a separation of the various liquids within a jar who have the varying degrees of viscosity. Certain liquids rising to the top, others falling to the bottom. Thus, the seniority by vibration of incarnation operates for those who have the possibility of graduation within the frame of time and experience that yet remains for this planetary sphere. Those who are less likely to be able to move the distance they have to move will of necessity wait until there is the further opportunity for incarnation upon this particular planetary sphere after the graduation of those who are now incarnate and who will move either in the positive sense or the negative sense, or who, failing to choose one or the other, will return with those who have not been incarnate for a portion of time. This sphere shall be in, shall we say, abeyance in the third density aspect for a portion of time after that which you have called the harvest or the graduation. During this time, the new inhabitants of this fourth density, a positive sphere, shall learn the, shall we say, rudiments of the new vibration. And when these have been learned well enough to be able to be shielded from the third density population, then again this planet shall be cycled for the use of those who are seeking the third density of experience and the opportunity themselves to graduate. Have we spoken to your query, my brother, or is there more that remains?
You have, thank you.
I'm Quo, and again we thank you, my brother. At this time we would thank each once again for inviting our presence in your circle of seeking this day. It is a great honor and privilege for us to be asked to join you. And again we remind each that we wish you to take only those words and thoughts which feel right for you. Regard all else as useless and leave them behind. We are known to you as those of Huo, and at this time we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each as always in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
As light goes back to its source that we've gathered in the circle, let's put the names of those who would like to be in. Aaron, Ophelia, Judy, Spider Rainbow, Echo, Scott, George, Self, Walter. Others? All those who are hungry.
The circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one.